Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be back among you. I normally say, because I'm normally the visitor, so when I say welcome, it feels like, well, you're all the people who are here. But actually, I'm beginning to feel like I'm part of you. But with the number of times I've been here lately, it's good to be here and good to worship with you again. We're going to stand to sing our opening hymn, a great hymn of praise. Lord, enthroned in heavenly splendor. It's number 352. So we turn to our orders of service, page 1. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please sit or kneel as we pray. And we prepare our hearts and minds now as we pray together our opening prayer. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. And so we take a moment in quiet reflection to recall those times when we have not loved God with all that we are, and we have not loved our neighbours as we have loved ourselves. We come to a loving God, full of mercy, who longs to forgive those who truly repent. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect, the prayer for this first Sunday in Lent. Almighty God, whose Son Jesus Christ fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, yet without sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in obedience to your Spirit. And as you know our weakness, so may we know your power to save through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And so we're going to have our first readings.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, and chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 1. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gifts that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared to the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in the justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man there were many made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So hold those two readings in your mind, but we're going to stand and sing. We're going to sing 593, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
To God in prayer.
So we remain standing for the gospel reading. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, beginning at the first verse. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up with their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord. Do please be seated. So there are lots of Sundays during the church year that have titles: Palm Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, Trinity Sunday. And if this first Sunday in Lent was to get its own name, it would not be Chocolate Sunday, in case you were hoping for that. It's perhaps better called Temptation Sunday. 4 days into our freshly decided upon Lenten disciplines from Ash Wednesday, we get the story of Genesis, of Adam and Eve and the serpent, and we get the story of Jesus' time in the wilderness. Today, there is temptation all around us. And you know what Oscar Wilde said about temptation? "I can resist everything except temptation." Let's pray. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe. We bow in your presence. May the words I speak be those you want spoken. And may the words we hear be those you want heard. And may each of us live to your praise and glory. Amen.
Amen.
So, Adam and Eve, the snake and the apple. A story we know very well, perhaps, from our Sunday school days. But actually, we don't quite know the story as well as we think we do. The fruit that was bitten, was it an apple? Well, no, it wasn't. If you hear the scriptures, it does not say that it was an apple. It was a piece of fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But because some Renaissance painter took the liberty of making the fruit an apple, we now remember the story that way. It was an apple, wasn't it? Not so sure. And whose fault was it? Was it Eve's fault? Or was it Adam's fault? Well, actually, it doesn't really matter, I suppose, because who took the first bite? Because neither of them were able to resist temptation. And the temptation wasn't to eat something forbidden or even to disobey God's rules. Instead, they were tempted to want to be God, or at least to be like God. And just as Adam and Eve were ejected from the garden, so would we be also. Because human nature is to fail at resisting temptation, especially the temptation to be like God, to rule our own lives and to choose our own way. When we think of temptation during the season of Lent, we generally think of those things that we perhaps have given up, that now come to us in greater measure. tempting us to break our Lenten vows. We give up chocolate, and suddenly we're surrounded by chocolate, and we can smell it when it's not even there. Or you give up alcohol, and then suddenly people you haven't seen for months call you up and invite you to come round or go out for a drink. We become fixated on what we cannot have, making it very difficult to stay away from temptation. But actually, these are not really temptations of any great significance. The temptations that are important are those that Adam and Eve and Jesus faced. Jesus had been baptized by John, and ringing in his ears are God the Father's words of affirmation. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And then it's out into the wilderness, where Jesus is to discover what it means to be the beloved Son. Now, the wilderness was a symbolic place, etched into the very psyche of the children of Israel, who had stepped out of the Red Sea and into 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, learning more about their destiny, much in the same way as Jesus was now to learn about his. For Israel, the wilderness was a place where things fell apart, where they were enticed into idolatry, social injustice, and spiritual adultery. Time and time again, their actions betrayed their lack of faith, their choosing of their own pathway. And now Jesus is to be tempted. And what we witness is his humanity and his vulnerability as the devil attempts to ensnare him, subtly manipulating him so that he will abandon his reliance on the Father in order to entertain an unholy alliance with the devil. Jesus, now this is the most underrated statement in Scripture. Jesus had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights before the temptations begin, and then Matthew says he was hungry. I mean, what an understatement. I have a tough time going from sunrise to sunset without food. In this weakened state, the devil now shows his guile and cunning, seeking to outmaneuver Jesus. But of course, Jesus knew the devil and his deceitful ways. And theologically, each one of the temptations is rich in meaning. The first invites Jesus to turn stones into bread, but this actually isn't about hunger at all. It's about whether Jesus is going to trust God the Father, or whether he's going to co-opt God's power and change the nature of rocks for his own purpose, to abuse the goodness of nature and creation with selfish greed. But as we heard, Jesus resists temptation, moves on, though weak and hungry, but trusting God. The second invites him, Jesus, to throw himself from the roof of the temple. The devil's attempt to get Jesus to use his God-given power to put on a show and make people notice and to think him supernatural, to bring mistrust into the relationship that exists between Father and Son. And Satan even has the audacity to quote Scripture when he tempts. "I know you know God's word, and in Psalm 91 it says the angels will guard you." But again, Jesus resists temptation. He turns from simple party tricks to trust God in God's real providence. And finally, the tempter offers Jesus the whole world to rule if he will just fall down and worship him, attempting to confuse that power which comes from the kingdom of this world with the power that belongs to God alone, tempting Jesus to take all of God's power and God's place in the world. Of course, Satan doesn't really have the authority to make that offer to Jesus, because the world and all that is in it belongs to God, and Jesus knows that and trusts the Father. And these stories are meant to help us, to tell us that it is in our human nature to want to be God and to rule our own lives and to choose our own way and do the things we want to do. Adam and Eve were promised that they would be like God, if only they would eat the same from the same tree that God ate from. And Jesus was promised all of the attributes of God, ability to change nature to suit his own purposes, angels to serve him, and the adoration of the world, if only they would allow themselves to take God's place. In the end, bribery, manipulation, nothing will distract Jesus from pursuing the destiny to which God has called him. And he emerges from the wilderness, having demonstrated unswerving love and obedience to the Father. But what of you? And what of me? How might the devil seek to drive a wedge between us and God? I doubt very much it will be bread and stones. I doubt it will be temples and angels. And I doubt it will be overtly bowing down to the devil. Satan is too subtle in his dealings with us. I think our temptations are more likely to be individually tailored, bespoke rather than off the peg. It preys on and exploits each of our own individual weaknesses, our vulnerabilities, and what they will be is dependent on who you are and who I am, our relationships, our values, our stories, our desires and priorities. How you and I respond to temptation can sometimes have life-changing consequences. That said, temptation is more likely to be a slippery slope of lots of little things rather than a crossroads moment. In the Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis's humorous and imagined correspondence between a senior devil, Screwtape, and his nephew, Wormwood, an apprenticed tempter. And Lewis suggests that any demon worth his salt is less interested in you and I, getting you and I to commit spectacular sins. Rather, using Screwtape's words, he says, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without any sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. It will be in the little things, in the details, in the small print that the devil will seek to win us over, to persuade us to let go of our trusting walk with God and seek a path of self-control, of self-governance, no matter how illusionary that sense may be. And so this Lent, this period of 6 weeks, you and I have the opportunity to take a good, long, real and honest look at ourselves and to give ourselves to being more like Christ, to take the opportunity to reflect on what the devil has and what he does dangle before us, in order to tempt us away from God and to seek self-governance and a pathway that is definitely not God's best and first choice for us. Lent is an opportunity for each of us to choose to get our lives back on track in our day-to-day battle with those little things and maybe one or two big things. And with God's help, make the wise choices and take the right pathway. We should be confident, not afraid, because thanks be to God, in Jesus Christ, we do not have to battle with our dark side alone. We are the body of Christ. We are held by and we are in Christ. And so share in what he has already won for us. And we have the Holy Spirit. This is what gives us confidence as we prepare ourselves to refuse and to resist what the devil might offer and tempt us with this day and tomorrow and this coming week and in the days to come, as he strives to tempt us away from our pathway with God. And so I ask you, What might the devil be tempting you with? Be prepared. Gird yourself so that you can take your stand and resist his slippery temptations. And choose the right pathways in all the little things, for it leads to life in all its abundant fullness. As it said in this morning's collect, I now pray again. Let's pray. O God, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations, and as you know our weaknesses, may each one of us find you mighty to save. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Our God knows us and the temptations we face. So let us pray to him now. Our first prayer is a prayer for our interregnum. So that's on the back of your sheets. We say together, gracious God, you are with us always. We thank you for guiding us by your Spirit through our life together as church. We pray that we may hear your voice in this time of interregnum. Grant us patience, grant us wisdom, grant us courage as we seek a new priest for our two churches. And by your grace, lead us to be more a Christ-like church, a church that is contemplative, compassionate, and courageous, because we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As the church begins this season of Lent, we ask you to remind us of what is important and what is not, of where we were wandering away and what we need to change, so that by Easter, we will be renewed and strengthened for your service in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
The world's misery and pain and desperate need of healing are clear to see and affect us all. We are acutely conscious of those who have suffered from the earthquakes and from the war in Ukraine. We pray now for this damaged world with all its weakness, its longings and its failings, and with all its potential and hope. Lord, whenever a child is born, we celebrate the creative hope of God. We pray for all babies being born this week and for their families and communities, that all our children may be loved and cared for, safe and happy. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all who suffer through others' sin, all victims of abuse or oppression or apathy, for all whose adult lives are distorted and misshapen by early damaging experiences which need your healing. We pray especially for Gail, Jean Stables, John and Angela Watts, and Roger Strachan, especially Roger Strachan, who goes into hospital on Tuesday for a heart operation. We pray for Amanda, Caden, and all that family. And in a short period of silence, we bring to you those people we know who need your love and your healing at this time. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
We remember those who he freed from the aging and pain of their bodies can live now with you in the peace and joy of heaven. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the hope we have in Jesus, for the strength to resist temptation, and for the joy and relief of forgiveness whenever we fall. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers
for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We stand to declare our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us access to his grace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Would you please offer one another a sign of peace? And we're going to sing our next hymn, number 780, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
Six. have no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
We're going to use the prayer that's on page 7, Eucharistic Prayer 2, page 7. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh. As your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin, he lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people, and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. Would you please sit or kneel as we pray? And we pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God of our journey, as we walk with you on your path of obedience, sustain us on our way and lead us to your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. And I invite you to come and kneel around the communion rail as you receive bread and wine this day. Do people go there? Just around. The body of Christ broken for you. 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 Lord God, you have renewed us with the living bread from heaven. By it you nourish our faith, increase our hope, and strengthen our love. Teach us always to hunger for him who is the true and living bread, and enable us to live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And on page 18, we pray together. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights, give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're going to stand to sing our offertory hymn. It's on the back of your, it's number 21, And Can It Be?
Clothed in righteousness, give.
approached the eternal throne and claimed the crown through Christ my own. Bold I approached the eternal throne and claimed the crown through Christ my own.
And now may Christ give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourself, take up your cross, and to follow him. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and all those you love and pray for, now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.